P2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. It's over. The Entertainment Writers Union has approved a contract with producers, ending a months-long walkout, says CBS's Jim Crisula.
The Writers Guild of America says its members can return to work on Wednesday while a ratification vote takes place on a new three-year contract with Hollywood studios. Some 11,500 union screenwriters have been on strike since May 2nd. Actors remain on strike.
Entertainment attorney Josh Handel says even if the actors' strike ends, other entertainment business unions could walk out next summer.
Next year, we have three major agreements expiring mid-year, two of which are the IATSE crew agreement, the Teamsters truck drivers agreement. They're going to be looking for whatever wage increase SAG gets. So there's a ripple effect, a pattern bargaining effect, and either of those unions could shut the industry down again.
The husband of the owner of a New York City daycare where a little boy died from fentanyl exposure has been arrested in Mexico. More from CBS News New York reporter Jenna DeAngelis on the arrest of Felix Herrera Garcia.
Prosecutors claim Herrera Garcia's wife called him before dialing 911 to get help for the children who were displaying overdose symptoms. One-year-old Nicholas Dominici died and three other children were sickened after being exposed to fentanyl.
The U.S. Supreme Court has rejected Alabama's Republican-drawn legislative district map. That means it will have to be redrawn for the third time this year. Columbia Law Professor Richard Brefault.
Well, I think they thought they could get away with what they did. I think they thought there were some hints in Justice Kavanaugh's concurring opinion that might allow them to get away with a map which did not create two black majority districts. I think they were misguided, and today's decision shows that.
A new map will be drawn by a court-appointed special master. New research shows gender bias is one of the biggest risk factors for women facing cancer around the world.
In some conservative societies, a shortage of female doctors keeps women from seeking the breast and gynecological exams that could spot cancer early. In many societies, they face a scolding for not getting help soon enough, co-author Ophira Ginsberg.
Women are more likely to come for care if they know they're going to get respectful care.
Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
Seven candidates will meet Wednesday night in the second 2024 Republican presidential debate at the Ronald Reagan Library in California. Not among them, however, Donald Trump. The debate will air on the Fox Business Network, the U.S.-based Spanish-language TV channel Univision, and on Rumble. That is an online video platform that's popular with conservatives. The two-hour-long debate will start at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show. On the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Going to the Bavarian Beer House. You can join us there. A little politics, then Packers.
Mike and Dom bring the show to you in the Milwaukee area at the Bavarian Beer House in Glendale. Join them Thursday starting at 4 with a Packers party after the live broadcast.
Road trip! With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was the same for about five
like a
minutes.
Week. Whoever was excited, then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
So it goes, so it goes, so it goes, so it goes, so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Mattenair in for Kristen Bry. Not a new mom yet, not as far as we know. So we haven't gotten any word yet. Kristen's just, her last show was on Friday. Now she's on maternity leave. So we're just waiting for word. And I'm not going to bug her. We've kind of agreed that we're not going to pester her or annoy her. She will tell us when she's ready to tell us. But I'm really excited today. My co-host for Tuesdays for the next couple of months, the one and only Dominic Salvia. From Dom and Crutes on Devil's Advocates. Thanks so much for joining
me. Hey, Jane, it is my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's always so much fun.
It is fun.
You're a legend in the radio, so when my legend friends ask me to do something, it's absolutely going to happen.
Thank you. You know I'm not paying you extra.
Yes, I know more.
Just so we're clear. You and the wife just got back, you and the lovely Stephanie just got back from... a little getaway to Colorado.
Yeah.
How was that?
Sunny Colorado. Oh, it's so sunny. Come back and it's, you know, dreary out here today. Yeah. It was a wonderful trip. You know, we usually try to get out in September. Our anniversary is in September.
Oh.
This week will be 19 years.
Congratulations.
Of wedded bliss.
Wow.
I know, right?
Wow.
And also, Steph does events. And so her summer season, she's very busy during the summer, just capped off with Nightlight at Joy Engine on Mitchell Street. So lots of planning, lots of things going into the summer. So we like to get out and, you know, wander around the mountains and clear our heads a little bit.
Yep.
And get a little humble, man. It is beautiful out there. Went to Denver, went to Estes Park from there and, you know, hiked in the mountains and, you know, 3 miles up, you know, 1,000 feet and back down again. It's a lot of walking around.
Right.
And then we got some time in Denver too. The city got the city action. Denver's a wonderful, beautiful town. A lot of art district there is amazing. So it was a great trip.
Nice.
Kind of quick Thursday through last night, but nice to get out and clear the head a little bit.
And you said this Thursday, the 28th, is your anniversary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's my anniversary.
No way. Is it really?
Yes. Paul and I will be married 23 years.
Oh, well, happy anniversary.
And to you and Stephanie.
All right.
Well.
We'll have to go out and party.
Yeah, absolutely. We are going to start things off this morning talking about the Republican efforts to impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz, even though she hasn't even heard a case yet or really done anything.
I mean, how
yet.
Dare she beat Dan Kelly in an election by 200,000 votes? I mean, that cannot stand.
Well, she's just squeaked by with that win. It was such a nail biter. But I couldn't help but stumble upon this morning. It's an opinion piece by Carlton Huffman in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And I just think it's worth a share. So we're just going to share this article again from JS Online. As a Republican operative who played a humble role in the election of the last three conservative justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, I have some thoughts on the proposed push to impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz.
Ooh, do tell.
Yes, thoughts. As regional director of the WOW counties, of course, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington counties, I did my part to help Rebecca Bradley defeat Joanne Kloppenberger in 2016. In 2017, I was witness to the layup that was Chief Justice Annette Ziegler's win. In 2019, I was part of the team pouring its heart and soul into seeing Brian Hagedorn would win a seemingly impossible race. It has been the labor of my professional life to see a conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. However, it is exactly the principles of small government conservatism that drives me to oppose the impeachment of Protasiewicz.
Jane, he goes on, make no mistake, despite my wish for Dan Kelly to reclaim his spot on the court, he was defeated in a free and fair election.
Thank you for that.
Are you sure about that?
Right.
The voters of Wisconsin spoke in decisive fashion, and their will ought to be respected. It is this logic that, from afar in 2010 and 2012, led me to respect former Governor Scott Walker. He was duly elected and committed no act that justified the futile 2012 recall attempt. Now, let me just pause for a moment right here.
Yes, please.
Reflect on that moment in time. Again, this op-ed piece by Carlton Huffman. When Walker was recalled, and I took a lot of grief from my liberal and progressive friends because I voted for Barrett in the general election,
yep.
mayor of Milwaukee at the time. And my position was, well, yeah, while certainly I don't agree necessarily with Walker, but, you know, it's a legislative piece and, you know, his elections have consequences, right? And he didn't do anything, quote unquote, that deserved, in my humble opinion at the time, a recall. We're going to recall everyone sometime, when they put forth legislation or sign legislation that we don't like, it's a recall. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't.
It should be more for, you know, illegal breaking the laws, you know, corruption, those kinds of things.
Right.
Well, while I look back on that now, what we didn't know then, when he was certainly justified for a recall, he was coordinating with third-party groups. He had a secret router in his executive office in Milwaukee County. He had people working on staff, working during county time on his campaign, coordinating with third-party groups for you know, millions and millions of dollars. So while that wasn't specifically part of the recall, that election, that fact alone, in my mind, would justify a recall, but that wasn't the reason at the moment.
No, it wasn't.
So that was after the fact.
Yeah.
But let us continue on with the conservative seeing the light here. He goes on that someone who was on the receiving end of an abuse of the political process could now lend his name to a similar proposed abuse is galling. Protasiewicz has not ruled on a case.
Nope.
And the excuse that she was obviously supported by partisan Democrats is no excuse when the three justices I worked to support were openly supported by the state GOP.
No kidding.
There is a disease that has afflicted right-wing politicians since President Obama's re-election in 2012. The belief that outcomes are rigged against those right of center has become an article of faith. If it's not the media's, it's the university system brainwashing children. And if it's not the Madison's that's hopelessly tilting the state, it's voter fraud amongst those people in Milwaukee. Those people.
Back in the days of Reagan and Bush, she continues, we had confidence in the power of our ideas to win. That confidence once shared by individuals like Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who to his credit stood up against the machinations of those who tried to overturn the 2020 election. Unfortunately, many of those individuals are silent in the face of the MAGA mob, or worse, attempt to placate the mob. This is not the GOP I joined as a teenager. It's not the GOP that can win the confidence of Wisconsinites as it did just 7 short years ago. In the home state of its birth, the Republican Party has a choice I fear has already been made. We can choose to respect the process and will of the voters, let the natural effect of hard left-wing policies play out, and reclaim power at the ballot box, or we can take the path of Viktor Orban in Hungary and other strongmen and use victory at all cost as our North Star. The latter course always ends in tears for all involved, including those who would attempt to bend the moral arc of the universe against justice and right. Republicans can win again in Wisconsin, but not if they choose to impeach Protasiewicz. If they take that course, 2024 will see Wisconsin once again turn blue, and they will only have themselves to blame.
I don't mean to interrupt here, but did I hear that correctly? Robin Voss stood up? Didn't he allow millions of dollars to be spent investigating, quote unquote? If he stood up, he would have said, no, deal with it. Move on.
I think that's a point there, yes.
Yeah. So, and Popcorn King, take a knee.
And as Dominic pointed to, sometimes it's not what you say, it's what you omit.
Right.
So this is an opinion piece. Again, his name is Carlton Huffman, former grassroots director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, but it's an op-ed in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And
I can't disagree with
it. It's hard to, right? And and to his credit, it's good to see Republicans of seemingly good faith. Again, may or may not agree politically, but you know, you rely on the process. You work the process. That's what you do in a democracy. We have ground rules. We have things how they've been done. You know, some things are rules. Some things are tradition, you know, and some things are legislative laws. And I get that you always want to push and do what you can to maximize your efficiency to get your side, your team elected.
Sure.
But, you know, but when people elect Protasiewicz by 200,000 votes, she hasn't even ruled on a case, and you're going to push this forward, this affliction of this disease that is in the Republican Party, it is willing. It is a willing, Robin Voss, they are willing to go along with this. You know, it's a disease is something that you can't fight against. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know if that's necessarily because Robin Voss, these Republicans, they could turn. They could not do this.
Oh,
sure. They can do other things than try to impeach Protasiewicz. They could, hell, if they're not winning on their policies and their legislative agenda, they could change those things. But no, they don't change those things. I mean, look at the abortion law here in the state of Wisconsin. You know, I mean, a perfect example.
Yes.
Women are second-class citizens, and the Republicans, they're fine with that. They lose elections because of this policy, but they don't look at it and say, well, maybe we should change our policy. Oh, of course not.
No.
We have to what? Try to subvert, try to, you know, make it harder for people to go vote. And that is not, if there was something being done, if there was some real games being played in the electoral system, and because of that, the Republicans, who they think have the majority of the people behind them, the silent majority, then if that's the case, they should want more people to vote.
For sure.
Because it would reflect their will and the will of their policies and their supporters, but they don't, because number one, people don't want those policies necessarily. I mean, taxes are taxes. I mean, the Republicans' answer to everything, lower taxes.
That is their answer for everything.
I mean, the abortion, right? Right now,
give her a tax credit.
Right,
yes, that's going to solve everything.
The fetus, two cells clumped together, you get a tax break. Congratulations.
Right. Not that there aren't issues with that whole thing.
I know. The whole thing is
But you're right. Their policies are not popular, and their policies have not been popular. And rather than change their policies to reflect what the electorate wants, they find different ways to go around the system, to alter the system, to game the rules in their favor so they can continue to stick their fingers in their ears and go, la, 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 I don't hear you because I don't have to.
Better ideas and better candidates, as Robin Voss would say. But of course, the gerrymander is an issue. And this, of course, abortion and gerrymandering is exactly what Protasiewicz is going to eventually rule upon.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. If you want to check in, call and or text on this op-ed in today's Journal Sentinel about why the GOP should not impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz. We'd love to hear from you, 844-967-2789. Stick around. We'll be right back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been the
this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any leftover showers ending, we'll see clouds and patchy fog around the area. 59 degrees early Wednesday morning with light northeast winds. After the fog, we'll see quite a few clouds around. Chance of showers, especially in the late day. Highs near 68. Right now, it's 61.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring.
Advocates Radio, so there we go. This is my wild desire. Kristen, she is out on maternity leave. Jane, thank you for inviting me. I will be your Tuesday fix.
Yes.
Until Kristen comes back, we wish her well, her and the family. Good luck with all that. Jane, these Republicans in the state of Wisconsin, even some of these activist Republicans recognize the headwinds that they will face when they unjustly, unconstitutionally, I would submit, because Janet Protasiewicz has committed no crimes, right. No misdemeanors, no fraud. She hasn't even ruled on a case, I don't think, yet.
No, she hasn't.
And they want to go because they want to impeach her because they're running out of ideas. They're running out of, they're losing. They lost by 200,000 votes.
Which in Wisconsin, which is a 50-50 state, is an enormous, it's a huge win.
It is a huge
win. It's not as she didn't squeak by. She didn't let's recount these ballots because no, it was a resounding victory.
It was a resounding victory. And the Republicans are running scared. When the thought of power, you know, being pried out of their dead political hands, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And they will do anything that they can to hang on to that, which is, I just don't get it. And I really don't. And I think it comes down certainly from the leadership at the top, which would be Donald Trump. But he is the head of this mega party. The GOP party died once Donald Trump came in. I mean, look at everyone that's left. I mean, Romney and Cheney. I mean, these are now the rhinos. I mean, Dick Cheney's daughter's a rhino. Are you kidding me?
I know.
Yeah. It is really something to see. And I reflect on when times get tough, when things go bad, that's really when you see the true character of people. And when these Republicans who claim to be for, you know, democracy and rule of law and for the people and limited government and everything they do, and my mind seems to go against that. I don't know what they stand for anymore other than trying to hold on to power. And tax cuts only get you so far. You know what I mean? I mean, nobody wants to pay taxes. That's why a lot of them are taken out of your, you know, paycheck right off the bat. Yeah. Sales taxes, those things are taken because, you know, no one wants that. And I totally understand that. Hell, I don't want to. But we do need to fund our government. We do need
roads.
We do need roads. And we need, you know, socialist sewers, man. You know what I mean? So these things are important to a functioning democracy, functioning republic. And no question there is, you know, waste, fraud, and abuse in anything,
yes.
Right? But you look at, okay, well, what did Robin Voss do about waste, fraud, and abuse? Well, contrary to this Republican op-ed, he didn't stand up to the 2020 election. You know, I mean, he invested, what, millions of dollars
in
Wisconsin
dollars.
Taxpayers to Gableman, the former disgraced Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, who he hired and then unceremoniously fired and insulted on the way out the door.
And we're all on the hook for this.
And we're all on the... And these are still going on. Yes. You know, this is still a cost. Again, same thing. Foxconn, go back. Let's see how the, where we get... How do we get here from where we're at? Well, Foxconn, $3.5 billion or $4 billion, whatever the number was supposed to be, was outrageous to begin with.
Yes.
And then they backpedaled, number came up. It was the whole thing. And so you use literally the Republicans, the small government Republicans, use the force of government to take people's land, to give it to a international corporation for a political jobs giveaway.
The eighth wonder of the world, remember? The eighth wonder of the world.
Isn't it, though?
A texter from the 262 says, another thing you're missing is that the Republicans would much rather cut the taxes for the wealthy way before they would fund important social programs like Medicare, food stamps, etc. Thank you for that. You can always check in 844-967-2789. And the other thing that jumps out at me when I look at, again, at this op-ed piece from Carlton Huffman, he says, there's a disease that has afflicted right-wing politics since President Obama's re-election in 2012, the belief that outcomes are rigged. Gee, who reinforced and has been reinforcing the elections are rigged, you know, early voting is corrupt, drop boxes are dangerous and full of fake stuffed ballots? Which political party has been pushing that for the last, I don't know, decade?
But now they're all on board for it.
I saw an ad from Glenn Youngkin in Virginia, West Virginia, about voting early. Get out there. We can't come from behind. Get out there and vote early. It's wait a minute.
Yeah, that's...
It was not too long ago that was the worst, most dangerous indicator of fraud was voting early.
Brian Schimming said in his December interview with the Journal Sentinel before he took over with the Wisconsin GOP that he was going to turn the boat on that very subject. And Twitter, if you're following WIS GOP or Brian Schimming or anybody attached to the Wisconsin GOP, it's all about banking your vote. He's getting Republicans on video saying it's time to bank your votes, make them count. It's like, dude, a year ago, this was a treasonous scandal against democracy that you were saying.
Yes.
So make up your mind, bra guy.
Well, don't look for any sort of consistency with these Republicans. There is none. And I think that's the hallmark of what you truly believe. Are you consistent in your criticism of X, Y, and Z? If you look at what's going on here in the Senate right now, Menendez, you know, indicted on some serious charges, right? And what do we see? We see lots of Democrats and certainly a lot of talking heads. I'm one of them. Get out, resign, man.
Yes.
And if you're innocent, then run for re-election again. It is a privilege to be in the Senate. That is not something that you are guaranteed through your Constitution. You know what I mean? Innocent until proven guilty doesn't mean you get to hold that job.
Well, and if you have $480,000 lying around in cash in your house, I think you made enough money.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
I think you should.
You're not worrying about paying the rent.
If you budget, you can stretch that out a little
bit. But no one's attacking Department of Justice. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
No Dems are saying, oh, this is rigged. Oh, we got to fire. We got to execute this guy. These things aren't happening.
Yeah. All right. When we get back from the break, Dan Schaefer, award-winning author of The Recombobulation Era, will be here as we recombobulate. Going to talk about the proposed stadium deal and so much more. So I hope you will stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network.
And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The entertainment writer strike is ending. CBS News Los Angeles reporter Tom Waite says the union believes it won big.
The way the Writers Guild leadership reacted to this, the language they used, calling the deal exceptional, is very rare for them to use language like that. So it's clear that they felt very good about this deal.
Talks with striking auto workers continue. President Biden spoke to some of those striking workers near Detroit yesterday.
You heard me say it many times. Wall Street didn't build the country. The middle class built the country. Yeah. Unions built the middle class.
The husband of the owner of a daycare in New York City where a one-year-old died of fentanyl exposure earlier this month was arrested in Mexico, says CBS's Jerika Duncan.
As horrifying as this story is, it could have been a lot worse. A source tells CBS New York that those three children who were hospitalized thankfully have recovered.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball. Dig out your lederhosen. It's time for Oktoberfest in La Crosse. September 28th through the 30th. 3 days featuring German food and beer, stein races, barrel rolling, and the best in live music, polka bands. Celebrate the friendliest fest in the Midwest, Oktoberfest in La Crosse. Thursday through Saturday, September 28th to the 30th at the Oktoberfest grounds. Find more information at OktoberfestUSA.com. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. She is on maternity leave. No baby news yet. As soon as we know and we are given the okay, we will tell you all the details. But for right now, there's nothing to report. Dominic Salvia from Devil's Advocates is my co-host on Tuesdays and joining us. Very, very excited to have him on Tuesdays throughout this duration is award-winning author of The Recombobulation Area, the one and only Dan Schaefer. Good morning, Dan. How you doing?
Hey, Dan.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, stadium deal. You wanted to talk about the stadium deal. How do you feel about this offer?
Well, it seems like Republicans made the offer last week. I've lost all concept of time.
I know, right?
Uh,
over the past couple of weeks here as covering state government in Wisconsin. But it seems like the offer for the proposed stadium deal is already starting to change. Saw comments from some Republican leadership on the bill over the weekend who had indicated that maybe they're not asking for quite as much from the local taxpayers in Milwaukee. And maybe they will give some representation to some of the folks from Milwaukee on the board. It just seems like the initial proposal was made as such so that they could appear to be making some concessions to Milwaukee, to local taxpayers, to others in this deal, to try and make this deal a little bit more palatable, because I don't think it was met with a whole lot of positivity.
Not a lot of enthusiasm.
No. No.
That's so you mark it up so you can mark it down later? Is that what you're telling us, Dan?
Is it going on sale now?
That's sure what it seems like they're doing. And you know, it seems like the now that they're trying to say, oh, we're going to do require, you know, less annual funding from City of Milwaukee County taxpayers. I think saying that is a little bit misleading because, you know, the initial proposal from Governor Evers back in February had no local funding for the taxpayer at all. So I think I think that is an interesting piece of it there.
Well, and I guess last week this, or it might have even been, like you said, my whole sense of time is completely screwed up. It could be, you know, May in my brain, but we were just talking about this not too long ago, and one of the co-owners of the Brewers just put up his LA mansion on the market. It's 20,000 square feet, and I believe it is like $78 million. And ooh. I just think it's a hard sell when you come to the taxpayers and say, we need your money for our toy because we do. And if you don't give it to us, then we're going to take our, well, we're going to leave our toy and we'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, I saw that story too, and it made me think, hey, I think I found the local taxpayer contribution portion of this deal.
Exactly.
I think I found it right there in the list price for that LA mansion.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, the Brewers have, I think a lot of the optics and the PR surrounding this deal has been so bad from the Brewers, you know, trying to sell the public on this deal. I think back to covering, you know, I covered the Milwaukee Bucks arena debate in depth when I was back at Milwaukee Magazine, and you know, the Bucks had a much different process for how they were wanting to pitch the public on funding the Bucks arena. You know, they talked about it as being this catalyst for downtown. They talked about it bringing more development into the area. This deal is the opposite. It is pitched very poorly. It is, you know, you have these days where, you know, the Brewers are announcing this big exciting patch on their jerseys the same day they're asking for $600 million in public funding. You know, they had the other thing last week that, like you mentioned, with the owner who is putting his mansion up for sale. So I think, you know, and the Bucks did a few other things right. They required union labor as part of the deal. They reached out to the community. They wanted to make, you know, locally owned, minority owned, women owned businesses a part of the construction of Fiserv Forum. And it's just so frustrating to see the Brewers take such a different approach when I think what the Bucks did ultimately was a pretty successful approach. I mean, I think you can argue about whether any funding for these arena deals is a good number. But I think if you're going to do it, follow a recent successful example, you know, instead of just ask for hundreds of millions of dollars more than the Bucks ask for and promise a whole lot less.
Dan, didn't Herb Cole also kick in a bunch of money for that as well? And he talked about the development portion of it. Lots of development has occurred in that area and continues to occur in downtown Milwaukee, as opposed to, you know, the huge swath of land that surrounds the ballpark. And the other thing, I guess I'm have you heard of? Has this ever been considered? What about an equity stake? I mean, look at the value of the Bucks. They have gone up. Now, granted, they won a championship and got some great players and a great story there. But that the value of the Bucks has increased phenomenally since the sale and to what it is now. What about some sort of equity stake? If the taxpayers of Wisconsin are kicking hundreds of millions of dollars, oh, maybe a little bit easier if they get a little piece of the action. So when the owners finally sell, we can get some of that back.
It is such an interesting idea. I've heard that proposed before. I heard that proposed back when the Bucks were looking to build their arena as well. But I think, just the complexity of the Brewers deal, because the stadium is not owned by the team. The stadium is owned by the state. And essentially the arm of the state government that governs the stadium district, basically.
Right.
So I think you have a different situation where, I think the Bucks owners wanted to own the arena, whereas now we have the state owning the arena. So it's the state's obligation to maintain it at a certain level. Whether that certain level is $600 million is a debate. That I think is an important one that the community is having right now. But I think that's one of the key differences, between the two deals.
If you're just joining us, Dan Schaefer is our guest. He is the author of The Recombobulation Area. I highly suggest that you subscribe. It's really a deal. And it's full of wonderful, really valuable information. Dan, you've been a longtime proponent of developing some of that vast swath of land around AmFam Field into something else. And I can understand why they don't want to give up all the tailgating, because it is something very near and dear to so many people's hearts and certainly very intrinsic to the experience for some people.
Plus 20 or 40 bucks a car to get in there and park.
There's that. But even if they just shrunk it a little bit,
yeah,
can't they, alter it a scooch?
Yeah, you would hope that they would have some creativity. I think they do need to alter it a scooch there, Jane.
it's an official term. It's an official. Yes, go ahead.
Yes. We published a piece last year about this at the Recombobulation Area, saying the Milwaukee Brewers need a beer district. So basically an equivalent of what's happening with the Deer District downtown that has brought so much activity and energy to that side of downtown, which was, basically completely dormant when the Bradley Center was even when it was there, much less when there were not Bucks games happening. But I think that is one of the biggest frustrations as part of this proposal, that there is just no creativity and no goal for larger transformation. That parking lot, like you mentioned, it's a lot of spaces. It is 12,000 parking spaces. That's more than there are at Disney World in Florida. So yes, that's not an exaggeration.
Wow.
There are more parking spots at American Family Field than there are at Disney World in Florida. So I think they could maybe go from, 12,000 parking spots to 10,000 and maybe develop the portions of it. I think there is a way to maintain the tailgating culture, which I know Brewers officials have talked about. I do think it is, it is obviously a big part of baseball in Milwaukee is the tailgating culture, but I think you can have both. I think you can have the tailgating culture with, the tons of parking that they have there and, look at creative approaches. One of the things that I've written about at the Recombobulation Area too is wanting to tear down the stadium freeway. If you tear down that freeway, make it an at-grade boulevard, that is going to open up some space for development as well. There's also the vacant Komatsu plant on the other side of 175, kind of kitty corner from the baseball park just south of National Avenue. That's empty now. They're moving Komatsu to the Harbor District. So between the stadium freeway, between the Komatsu development, and between maybe one or two of the parking lots, you could really open up a lot of opportunity on the west side of Milwaukee, West Dallas, West Milwaukee, Milwaukee County there. And I think, I'm saying this as somebody who lives not too far from there in the Washington Heights neighborhood in Milwaukee. That would be such a welcome development for the people on this side of town to actually invest in, a part of Milwaukee that's not always downtown. We always talk about how much there's too much emphasis on downtown.
Right.
Oh, the Brewer Stadium should be downtown. Well, it's not downtown. And there's a ton of opportunity on this side of town to really invest in and make some changes and reinvent it. Because I don't, I really think that the city in particular does not want this to look the way it does now in 2050 at the end of this proposed deal. So I think that is something to consider here as well.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Tom from West Dallas is on the line. Good morning, Tom. What do you think?
Morning. I see both ends of this conversation. My question, and real quick, Pfizer Forum. I didn't hear anyone really complaining when the state, gave Pfizer like $250 million grant. And then like a year and a half, 2 years later, Pfizer spent $240 million on naming rights for the Pfizer Forum. But the other thing with the stadium, you know, I hear people complaining all the time, well, we can't spend this kind of money. We shouldn't be. Look at the domes. Oh, we shouldn't spend money on our parks and stuff. And now the domes are in such disrepair, we're going to have, you know, it's going to cost a fortune to fix them or rebuild something. But same with the stadium. I mean, you know, the Brewers, like all sports teams, will threaten, you know, to leave, and sports teams have left. What happens if the Brewers leave? Because they're like, okay, you know, you guys don't want to give us any money, even though we lease that building. We do not own it, and I've never leased a building, a house, a car, anything where I was responsible for major upkeep, like a furnace or what have you. So, you know, there's two sides to this. So if we don't spend the money and it gets in disrepair, just imagine what the demolition costs would be of that place. You know, we'd be spending, either way we're spending. So why don't we spend for the positive, do what we can keep, and I 100% agree. Let's add to the to that area there. Let's put in some attractions that would get more people down there. But, you know, it's a tough thing either way you look at it.
Really appreciate the call, Tom. Thank you so much. 844-967-2789. We only got a couple of minutes left.
Yeah, Dan, what about that? I mean, is anyone truly considering what would happen? And do you think there's even a chance that the Brewers would pick up their ball and go home?
I mean, they're, of course, going to threaten that. But I think the lease is, as it stands, is through 2030, I believe. So, you know, they're acting like this is a very urgent matter. I think there's some time. I think it's more important to get this right than to get it done quickly. I think it's more important that we look at the big picture of this and get it right. If we're going to make an investment in something that's going to be lasting, you know, 25 plus years for Milwaukee, let's get it right. Let's not, you know, rush something through and then, you know, be having hindsight saying, oh, we shouldn't have done it that way. Let's get it right.
Well, and I don't think anybody really wants to see the Brewers leave.
No.
I certainly don't, and I haven't been to a game in years. I appreciate the economic benefits to the city and just all the other things that come with it. So, yeah, it would be great if we could work something out. Dan will be with us on the other side of the break when we get back, so please stick around. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any leftover showers ending, we'll see clouds and patchy fog around the area. 59 degrees early Wednesday morning with light northeast winds. After the fog, we'll see quite a few clouds around. Chance of showers, especially in the late day. Highs near 68. Right now, it's 61.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Good afternoon.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Dom, Jane, and Dan Schaefer, the Recombobulation Area. Thanks for sticking around, Dan. Let's go to some national politics. Politicians getting indicted. And for once, Dan, it's not Donald Trump or a Republican. This time it is a senator, a very powerful senator, getting indicted. Apparently gold bars, cash, and workout equipment. Dan, lots of people are starting to call for Senator Menendez to resign. I'm one of them. It's nice to see some consistency on the Democratic side for upholding principles and values and trying to push out corruption. And Tammy Baldwin has now, our senator from Wisconsin, apparently come out and also suggested that. Dan, what do you think is going to happen as this unfolds?
So you don't think Democrats should just say that this is a witch hunt and that they're right. Weaponizing the FBI against Democrats?
Defund the Department of Justice. Defund the Department of Justice. This is a terrible, unfair witch hunt smear thing.
It's amazing that we don't hear that. But it is. That it gives me some solace, Dan. People are being consistent on the Democratic side. That's what I would want. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was, interesting this morning to see Tammy Baldwin kind of lead this as, there were a number of senators yesterday called for Menendez to resign. Baldwin became the fourth this morning. And as I'm checking here, that number is now up to 13.
Wow.
Democratic senators who have called on Menendez to resign, including fellow New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. So I think that is a pretty significant one as well there. I think a number of the first few were senators from swing states. And I think there is a political calculation to a number of this as well. Senator Brown in Ohio, Baldwin in Wisconsin, Tester in Montana, a number of these senators who are going to be on the ballot in 2024. So I think, it's going to be really important for Democrats in the 2024 election in general to stand for the rule of law, to stand against corruption from politicians. And I think this is the right move for Senate Democrats to make. And I hope to see those calls, continue in the days and weeks ahead.
I have to say though, I'm really, really disappointed in Chuck Schumer, who just seems to have stepped away from this and, come on, dude.
At least so far, right?
So
we've gone from a couple of politicians, as Dan mentioned, who what now, 13? I mean, that's a big number, and it continues to increase. If it continues along this way, presumably Schumer eventually would get on there. Any thoughts on that, Dan?
Yeah, Schumer is occasionally frustrating, isn't he?
I don't get it sometimes. In some instances, it just seems like he wants to protect his political power at all costs, no matter what, while trying to put a nicer, fluffier face on it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there's something about the New York, New Jersey connections there that maybe there's more to, you know, having each other's backs on these types of things or whatever. But I think, you know, I think what Tammy Baldwin and the, you know, John Fetterman and now Amy Klobuchar and Cory Booker and these other Democrats have come forward to say that he should resign. I think that's the right thing to do. And, you know, it seems like the dam is breaking on that this morning, and more and more Democrats are added to that list. And I think, yeah, it's just there's political calculation to this as well. And I think, like you mentioned, with Schumer, hopefully he comes around.
Dan, I haven't heard, have any Republican senators come out and specifically suggested that perhaps the senator should resign?
You know, I actually saw an interesting comment as I was just checking the news this morning from Republican Senator Tom Cotton. Have you seen those comments at
no.
all? So he tweeted, and I'll just read his tweet. The charges against Senator Menendez are serious and troubling. At the same time, the Department of Justice has a troubling record of failure and corruption in cases against public figures. And Senator Menendez has a right to test the government's evidence in court, just like any other citizen.
Well, of course.
He should be judged by jurors and New Jersey voters, not by Democratic politicians who now view him as inconvenient to their hold on
Tom
power.
Cotton, always on brand.
Tom Cotton, coming out in defense of corrupt politicians. You know, that's the type of bipartisanship that we can see from Republicans.
Well, and it's one thing, and to certainly suggest that, yes, you know, have your day in court innocent
sure.
until proven guilty. But, you know, there's no guarantee that you are, you know, can be stay in the Senate. You know, I mean, this is not right. a constitutional right. This is not, you know, going up against your basic rights as a citizen of this country. You are in a privileged position to be in the Senate, and the position that he holds. I mean, come on, gold bars, hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash. I mean, as we've seen over the course of years, the federal government in cases, they're pretty successful, regardless of what Tom Cotton says. And I know because, you know, Tom Cotton and the other Republicans, they're trying to, you know, continually suggest that somehow this weaponized DOJ, well, they're bad, they're not good at this, this is yada, yada, because, of course, it helps them with their constituents on the Trump case. So I don't believe for a minute that Tom Cotton thinks that. But I just think if you're in the position that Menendez is in, and you are indicted by, you know, a Democratic Department of Justice, you know, there's probably something there.
There might be some there. Yeah.
There might be some there.
I could see Bob Menendez coming back and running as a Republican next time. Then.
However, I do want to say Bob Menendez should get nothing if not an award for the most creative "my dog ate my homework" excuse, with having $480,000 in cash in his house. And he said, "I've been doing this for a long time, taking cash out of my accounts. It's just what I do in case of emergencies." Don't we all have $480,000 lying around in bills?
Because of, you know, right. things. I mean, come on. Okay.
Right.
Even if you accept that at face value, how about the gold bars, Bob?
I have a tin of change at home.
I got a quarter jar. I got a swear jar.
Not $100,000 jars.
No.
Maybe things are different in New Jersey. I don't know. Maybe that's how they keep their money around there.
The water is definitely different in New Jersey.
No doubt about it. Well, it will be interesting to see how this progresses as time goes on. We're up to 13 Democratic politicians now calling for him to step down, which we'll see if it's the beginning of a wave down the hill and if Chuck Schumer will ever get picked up in that wave. Dan Schaefer, always a delight to have you. We will talk to you next Tuesday morning. Check him out on the recombobulation area. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Dan, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dan.
And we are going to break. We will be back after the top of the hour news. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio
You're listening
Network.
To 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 AD P. Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.